Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Recording.
Hello, ladies.
A slow start to the session, but we're here.
Yeah, we had mic issues yet again. We honestly have bought 400,000 blue Yeti microphones over the course of this podcast. And for some reason, like all of them stopped working. And just then my one was glitching out. But I think it was actually the GarageBand. It was making me sound like I'd done NOS.
Yeah, you were like, wait, do I sound like this? And I was like, hello, welcome.
I was like, is this like my actual voice? It sounded like
I'm like, Izzy, you've always sounded like that.
Mouse on fast forward mode.
You sounded like the little mouse in the house. Maybe he...
Where's the mouse?
He's hiding behind that box of chamomile tea.
Is he still alive?
I think so.
Nice.
Zach saw him while I was away.
Really?
Yeah, Zach likes him.
Yeah, I like him.
I think Zach lets him out to hang out with him while I'm gone. Like our son.
Yeah, the girlies always ask for mouse updates and then I usually forget, but...
I think before we move out, I'll like let him free.
Yeah.
He can live here rent free for a little while.
Yeah.
Luckiest boy in London.
I have a few things I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
In no particular order. Firstly, Taika Waititi and Rita Ora got married in London.
I really like them.
I really like them as a couple. They're good chaotic.
Yeah. They're the most chaotic good. Yeah.
Most chaotic. Remember how they started dating with a 3-way kiss with Tessa Thompson on a bender in Sydney?
Yes. So and iconic. I feel like that, like, whatever, if they have children, that child will just be some super child.
Mm.
Weird combination of chaotic genes.
Yeah.
Is there any pictures of the wedding?
No. Apparently, a source told The Sun that they got married in London, very chill wedding. They're going to have like a party later. But they also said, which was really cute, that they proposed to each other kind of simultaneously.
That's nice.
Which is really gorgy.
It feels very unlike them not to share photos. They obviously will at some point, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like Rita can't help herself.
Yes, I know.
What do you think she wore? They're either going to do the like fun, cute wedding and then do a proper like celeb wedding later.
I'm sick of that. I don't like why people doing that. Everyone keeps doing that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Because then you keep thinking everyone's having a chill, relaxed wedding and it's gorgeous. And then they do this huge thing afterwards.
Yeah, you're tricked.
So they're just having two weddings now.
Yeah, I hope they just have a quiet wedding and I hope she wore something random. Random. Like when Lily Allen wore that like random dress.
Yes.
That's the...
I think Rita Ora's dress was something short.
Same.
Maybe sparkly, something fun.
Like a YSL racy little number.
I'm thinking it in white. Are you?
Yeah.
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 I don't know why my head immediately went to black with YSL.
Yeah.
Izzy Miyake died.
Saw that.
Wasn't going to bring that up. Don't know how to feel. Feel sad, obviously.
Yeah. I'm like sad in an abstract way.
Yes.
It's not weighing heavily on my mind. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sad.
But sad.
Sad for his family.
And also when I saw you posting all these Olivia Newton-John
Insta stories.
Speaking of actually sad.
I didn't know that she died. And I was just like, Grace is in a hole. I was like, Grace is in another one of her like manic episodes.
Yeah. I was really sad when I saw that because when I was a kid, I know everyone liked Grease. I watched Grease like every day for a year or something weird. Like I had a bit of a like ticky weird thing where I kind of kept watching it.
I'm not trying to downplay your thing, but I kind of weirdly had that too where I'd come home from high school and put Grease on almost every day.
Mine was weirdly, I was younger because I remember trying to get my mum to buy me like those like sexy red wedges she like wore at the end when she was...
Yes.
I literally
when she was coming to the amusement park.
Yeah, when she's being sexy Sandy.
Yes. That movie's backwards.
And I was like 11.
I'm just realizing the premise of it.
Yeah, it's like become a hot thought and you'll get the guy, which I kind of love. But I honestly think that's why I wanted to take up smoking.
Mm.
And she went and put it up.
I can't stop saying Gorgie. I was just going to say Gorgie, and I can't stop saying it ever since Kate Moss did that interview with Dazed, and she kept saying Gorgie, Gorgie, Gorgie to the guy that I read out on the podcast.
Yes. It's called like a, we do it sometimes in the podcast where we'll say like.
We do it a lot.
Jare or something. We say something too much, and it's like I feel in my head, I know I'm saying it too much, but it's like a.
It's a pea brain thing.
It's a thing that. People who have to speak publicly, which we're technically doing, say happens. So they have a word they lean on when they haven't fully developed a thought.
You know how we bumped into each other on Saturday at the cafe?
Yes.
I got told off for being such a pea brain moments later when that peach toast came out.
Yes.
That you were telling me was delicious and I was so excited that I'd ordered. It was like sourdough. What is that? Ricotta?
It's called stracciatella and it's the middle of... a mozzarella ball.
Oh my god,
it's just so special. It's and like a peach soft on little top. Cheese and then grilled peach with chili salt. It's perfect.
It was the most perfect toast. So delicious. Anyway, it came out and I was zoned out, like obviously staring at the peach toast, and apparently allegedly I started going yum 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 yum, and my boyfriend screamed shut the fuck up. And I was like, and then I go, you don't let me be me. And then we had a huge fight. You saw us moments before. Moments we were like before. Holding hands when you walked into the shop.
Yeah, you guys looked, you were like the picture of loved up domestic bliss, relaxed. Yeah,
the peach toast, peach
Who
toast
gate. Who thought such a beautiful thing could lead to such a heinous fight?
I know. And then we had this big fight. And I was like, we don't do anything fun. You know, couple situation when you live together and you basically just communicate while at the other person while they're on their phone and then you never leave the house together. And it's what is someone was saying the other day, a very simple phrase, but it's gone from my brain of think. Okay. When we hang out, what is the word for that?
I don't know. Like quality time.
But it's like, default or something. Like it's just you're not doing it on purpose, but you're just spending time with the other person, but it's not purposeful or whatever. So you don't actually put time or energy into it. Anyway, had a discussion about that. Then to make up, found this little Italian spot I'd never been to in Kensington, and they say in the heaps of the Google reviews said it was Princess Diana's favorite restaurant.
Did you feel her like spirit while you were in there?
Well, then I googled it and so many restaurants claim to be Princess Diana's favorite restaurant.
Even but if she was there, that's
she went there.
That means a lot.
She took Will and Harry there for pizza.
Cute.
So
so
I don't even know. I don't even know where we're at or why I'm talking about this.
I feel like it's somehow connected to going to the play.
I can't bother talking about going to the play.
But we went to a play. That's all you have to say. I'm confident I went to a play.
Called Chasing Hears.
I've seen the posters for it. Very good posters.
Yes.
Strong posters.
Very good play.
Play.
It's about communism, anti-capitalism, workers' rights. It was great to watch with a bunch of rich white people at a theatre in London.
Yes.
I don't know. Whenever that happens, I just look around and I'm like, this is so funny. Because people are obviously making art to try and make a difference. And then it's just absorbed by like.
Yes.
I don't know. I was like, this just feels sad. Because I was like, I shouldn't be going on holiday to Italy next week. There are people that are dying. But I'm going to go still on holiday. Going,
yes. Buy a silly little outfit beforehand.
Yes.
I have something very important to tell you, which is that I think I've discovered the source, a scientific cause of what the ick is.
Tell me.
So I saw a TikTok of this woman. Her name is Louise Perry. And what she said in the TikTok seemed interesting. I listened to a long interview with her and I kind of questioned some of her thoughts. She's like a sociologist or something. She's English and she's written a book called Why the Sexual Revolution Was a Mistake for Women or something. And it's basically her argument is that like women, the pill and access to abortion, like divorced sex from like reproduction. So it allowed women for the first time to have like quote unquote sex like men because they could have sex without worrying about getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But she basically argues that like all these different things to do with biology, our bodies haven't caught up with society changing. So women don't actually want to have like crazy casual sex in the way that men do.
Yes.
And so the benefit of like hookup culture and saying it's a feminist act to have sex like a man is just that it's allowed men to treat women even less respectfully when they have sex with them, where they're not expected to like call or even like
marry them.
Yeah, marry them. But there's this idea that having sex like a man means we can all just do it with like a complete lack of emotion, which can just lead to like more disrespect and more of a viewing women as this kind of just object that can be slept with and discarded, and that women aren't actually getting any benefit because a lot of the time we're having casual sex when we don't really want to, mm-hmm. because we're told that that's what empowerment looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So she's basically saying 50 years on from that, it was a great idea, but how it actually is working in reality is just more beneficial for men, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I agree with a lot of it. In regards to the ick, what she basically said is that men's sexual disgust levels, as is unsurprising, are like on the floor and ours are really high. And it's because we're hardwired to anytime we sleep with a guy, somewhere in our brain and body is being like, would I want to have a child with this man? Whereas men just don't have that feeling. So they will literally have sex, like we've said before, we'll have sex with anyone and anything because their parameters of like a sexual partner are completely different to women. So when we get the ick, it's something in our monkey brain realizing that we do not want to have a child with this person.
That's so interesting. So our body is like
warning us off. So yeah. We get it before, and apparently men get that after.
After sex.
So they'll finish sex and be like, oh, wait, I don't like this person at all the second afterwards. And we get it before as like a thing to protect us from pregnancy.
Wow.
Pregnancy with a like loser, basically.
We need to get the ick more.
Yeah, so the ick is helping us, basically. It's a survival instinct.
That's so interesting. I think that's true.
That so if a guy carries, like, an umbrella, part of our brain is like, he wouldn't protect me if, like, a lion charged at our cave.
Yeah, and that also makes sense with the thing about so much of the ick or so much of us. Like, the other day when you said, I think this was on Patreon, but when you said that, I don't even know how much to give away in these episodes that will get sued. When you said someone wasn't hot, and part of that was that they did yoga, and I said that's naughty. This is a guy.
Yes.
And I said that's naughty because, like, you know, that insinuates he should be out spearing people in the jungle or playing rugby.
Yes.
And that's maybe part of exactly what you're saying. If a guy carries an umbrella, if a guy does these feminine things, they're not going to protect our babies and our offspring,
which is so from danger. Stupid and retro.
Yeah, obviously it's like monkey brains,
but there's something that's like operating on some weird level. But then we all, like, all women are like desperate to fuck Harry Styles, so there's like something about knowingly leaning into that's very powerful. Like, most women don't want to have sex with rugby players, like, we find them foul, so we are evolving.
I don't know if that's most women. But yeah. I think
very hard to generalize.
Yes, I think a lot of women do want to fuck rugby players.
I'm curious as to how many women want to fuck rugby players because they want to, and how many want to because in some level you're like protected because they're successful and have money and it can bring you fame, and there's like this pathway with WAGs and stuff to like success. Mm. You know, like if a tree falls in the forest, like if a rugby player wasn't, you know, surely not, because they've all look like they've been like squashed.
Yes. They're all like bunged up.
Yeah.
You know that.
Horrible. Anyway, so that's my theory for the week.
The girlies with the bung feet, like having a go at the rugby players with the bung ears.
Yeah. We're in no position to pass judgment.
Okay, so one thing we could have spoken about last week but forgot is the release of Beyonce's album. Wait, why didn't we?
Yeah, we just ran out of time.
Yeah, right.
Just gave you guys too much great content.
It's the release of Beyonce's new album, which I have this thing where I just, even though I love Beyonce and have loved her for years, every single, it just happens, I just get over things and I just don't care anymore. Like, I was like, I'm not even interested in it coming out. And then when it did come out, it was obviously brilliant and I love it so much and I can't stop listening to it and I keep getting drunk and dancing around the house. How do you feel?
I think I've said this before. I'm like, there are three things in my life that I don't understand why they're as famous as they are.
That is crazy if you're going to say that about Beyonce.
And it's Seinfeld, Beyonce, and Michael Jackson. And it's not that I don't think they're good and they're famous and I'm like, what the hell? I just don't, whatever thing people are hearing and is clicking, I don't get. I like Beyonce. I like her songs. I love Destiny's Child. I think she's beautiful. I think she's talented. I think she's amazing. I just don't have that like fanatical thing that people have about her.
No, but okay. That's crazy that you've never heard a fanatical thing about her because no. Like Destiny's Child, that I like, era. Yeah. But I guess you didn't have like a crazy thing about J-Lo either. And because that was so my kind of, they were like kind of overlapping in the like R&B and hip hop genres. Mm-hmm. And I was just so fucking obsessed with her. Obviously, Destiny's Child was like the best girl group ever. All of those songs were crazy. And then as soon as she went independent, like every single album she's released has been like banger upon banger upon banger.
So I personally think that like Say My Name is a better song than any song Beyonce has released. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm correct. I'm just saying that that's just how my brain. I don't like Love on Top. I don't like Single Ladies.
No, I don't like Love
on
Top.
Like
Halo. No.
I don't like. Like I'm like, no. I can't think of any of her songs when they, you know, when they come on in a club and people are like and have a meltdown. I'm just like, it's just a song. Like, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't like those. I mean, Single Ladies was fucking crazy when it came out. I'm not going to say it wasn't. But yeah, the Halo and those kinds of ones I'm not that into. It's more, I mean, I love Sweet Dreams, to be fair. I like the ones that kind of have a bit of dance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Her album that had Partition and everything on it was insane. Lemonade was crazy, the visual album.
I really appreciated Lemonade as like the visual.
Mm.
I thought it was amazingly
done. I think the thing with her is she, so I don't have this crazy fanatic obsession with her anymore, but I did in such an insane way when I was like, 18, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen her live and been front row at her concerts like so many times. But now I just find her a bit rare in just quite a few ways. But then it's funny because musically this album just proves, it's quite funny thinking of her as being a little bit rare now and like Solange as her cooler younger sister, very Gigi Bella
yes.
vibes. And then she comes out with this album, which just proves that she, whatever you say about her, I just think musically, she's just like, someone put on Twitter just being like, she's like competing with herself at this point because she just like released this album and it like comes so soon after Drake released his kind of housey, clubby album and everyone kind of slammed it because they were just like, okay, Drake, like that's kind of random. That's
great.
Just,
yeah.
It was just random and it was also like he clearly just decided to jump into this genre and make some music without really putting in much effort. Whereas with Beyonce's, she, the amount of people she collaborated with it, on it is insane in terms of like how small these people are, like her to even know that they exist, or her team or whoever's doing it for her. But I feel like she's very across all of it. For her to even know they exist is like quite crazy. And then she's worked with them all, credited them on every single song, which means that every single stream the songs get, all of these people make money. So like there's like 20 people listed as being creating one song,
mm-hmm.
which I absolutely love. And I just feel like, I don't know, the even like listening to the album itself, there are songs that I'm not, that I'll skip over, but mostly listening to it in like a full go, the transitions are crazy, the way it moves from like one song to the next. It's just, I don't know, I'm just like, her coming out with this, and it's Renaissance Volume 1, so there's like more coming, is just quite funny because she's just been like drop, and it's like blowing the world up yet again.
Yeah, she's obviously the best person at what she does in terms of like being a world famous pop star. She's like unparalleled, which is why Adele winning that Grammy, I'll just never get over. It's just outrageous. She's at the peak in terms of how meticulous she is about every single element. And I think this album, like I've only listened through it like a couple of times, but I think it sounds to me like her best album. I think it's really, really obviously incredibly well produced. It has amazing songs on it. But I also feel like, to play devil's advocate, I think my thing with Beyoncé, why I can't warm to her, maybe in a way, the way I warm to Rihanna, is she feels so like meticulously produced.
Yeah.
She's such a product. She's such a slick. But even like you were saying with using all of these artists, like I just have a cynical part in my brain where it's like, well, she just knows that that's exactly what you need to do right now for the culture to be obsessed with you. Like, and I'm not saying that that's the only reason she did it, but she hits every single mark. Like when the whole culture was about, you know, feminism is women being like independent and blah, blah, blah. Then it was independent women and single ladies. And then when it changes to being like, we don't care about men at all. It's all about like loving yourself and, post-pandemic freedom, then that becomes it. She's just so great at reading the room and delivering a product that like taps into it. And she's also an artist, but there's just something about Rihanna that feels so much more.
Rihanna's like
raw and accessible and like, I don't know, off the cuff. She's Rihanna, it's just different.
Though I would say is like Rihanna's very fun and makes good music, but I just don't think her music even compares in terms of like the how, you know, when we were talking about how you were just like, who will go down in history in terms of like artistry.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Rihanna's songs are like fun and silly and club bangers. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of what Beyonce makes is actually like, it'll be like a club banger, but it'll be so crazy produced. I don't know. I just thought when I listen to her songs, I'm like, I don't know. It's just, she makes such good music. And then with, Lemonade, the way she responded to her husband cheating on her by making that art, like, that's insane. But it was quite funny because in this album, there's, like, references to ballroom culture and queer culture and, like, voguing and stuff. And I was finding it really funny because I listened to every outfit the other day and they were talking about it. And Chelsea was just like, she was just like, there's no one I think of as being more straight than Beyonce. Like she was just like, I know she obviously has a lot of queer fans as any huge pop star does, but like she's been with the same person since she was 19 years old. I don't think she's even slept with anyone else, and all of her songs like cater to you, and those like really early songs, which are just so, as you say, like out of the time, which is quite funny. But
And like Lemonade is just that, like woman's, she's obviously so straight in the sense of like that woman scorn thing where you're like that furious about it is just such a hetero thing. I mean, yeah, she's amazing. Like I appreciate everything she does just as a, I do like feel like she's very similar to Michael Jackson in that sense, just dominates the culture in this way that's never been, like is kind of unparalleled. Even the fact that she did that British Vogue cover and it was basically a recreation of her album cover. I'm like, she can just get away with anything.
Yeah. Like, and she didn't do an interview, which is crazy.
Yeah. But basically saying to a magazine, like, you can shoot me, it needs to look like this product that I'm about to release. It's so wild.
I know. Yeah.
What are your favorite songs?
I can't stop listening to it. It took me a while for Break My Soul to to get inside me, and then now it has.
To get inside
and
I your like soul.
Can't stop listening to it. In terms of just the when the beat drops and stuff, I'm such a chew, but I just fucking love it. I've been listening to Energy, which is like with this guy called Beam, who's a good friend of my good friends. So it's like quite crazy that he's like in the title of the song. So it's like such a huge coup for him. And I feel like it's one of the best songs on the album. Alien Superstar, I love Thick. And I love Cozy, but I need to listen to basically what happens is my pea brain gets stuck on songs and I listen to them on repeat and on repeat and on repeat. So it takes me a long time to like get through the full album.
Yeah.
I'm still halfway through. I've listened to the whole thing, but I keep going back to these first ones and like listening to them like 7,000 times in a row. And now I'm slowly getting through to the, I just listened to the one with Grace Jones and I loved it, but I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I liked that one as well. And yeah, I like that Alien Superstar song, but I've only listened to it through a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love how she, because I think you talking about how everyone like universally loves her, I feel like people kind of don't. Like, right. I feel like it's very cheeky to like Beyonce in a way that it's not at all for Rihanna. Like, massively.
Yeah, I mean more like historically. Like, I just feel like if I've been at a party in the past and a Beyonce song comes on, like, it's like a full, I know so many people who just like adore her, and I don't think that it's like lame or not cool or anything. I totally treat it as my own gap in my own like brain. It just doesn't, it's like Michael Jackson. Like, if I never heard another Michael Jackson song again, I would never care. And it's why I like struggled to sympathize with people that were so like on board with him after all the child molestation stuff, because I was like,
yeah,
I just don't like these songs at all.
Yeah.
But I know that every respected person who makes music does. And I know it's just, I have a problem.
No. I don't like love Michael Jackson. I mean, I like his music, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's, they're similar. I feel like him and Beyonce, she's so influenced by him that their music exists on a similar plane. Anyway.
So she got told off for including a ableist term in one of her songs right after Lizzo did, which is kind of random, because it's like, wouldn't you just remove it if Lizzo just got slammed for like the exact same thing a week earlier? Or did you just think that, or did you forget, or did you?
And like, what that word, I was like, I'm just so surprised that anyone would be. It seems like such an old-fashioned retro word.
Yeah,
in a song.
So then Monica Lewinsky now wants Beyoncé to go back and remove From Partition, banger of a song, about Bill Clinton jizzing on her dress. But it's like, what is it? What is the line? It's like Monica Lewinsky all up in this gown or something. And basically what happened was, allegedly, which I'd never heard in my life, Bill Clinton jizzed on Monica Lewinsky's dress.
How do you not know that, Izzy?
I didn't know that.
That's how the whole thing came out, because he was like, she's lying, she's lying, she's lying, she's lying, and then she got her jizzed on dress tested by DNA.
Are you joking?
That's literally how the whole thing came out. He was like, we're just going to call her crazy. She'd never have any proof. And then she pulled out this gap, this purple gap dress.
My God.
That she'd given him like a blowjob and like thing. And that's why it's depraved. Like, it's that whole story is like unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay, what?
Yes, crazy.
How did I not know that?
I don't know. You must have.
I just thought.
You didn't watch the Beanie Feldstein.
No, I watched like half of it.
Yeah, you missed the key. This is all about the dress.
This is classic. It's
like
me. A bit
where she hangs the dress back in her cupboard and you're like, dun dun.
Yeah, because I just know that. I know that Bill Clinton fucked Monica Lewinsky and had an affair.
They never fucked, apparently.
Yeah.
Like.
I'm sure they did.
Penis to vagina penetration. No, because he was so scared of getting her pregnant, apparently.
Oh.
He's such a gross piglet. Yeah, Monica Lewinsky tweeting that. I was like, I get it. I get you're being funny, but just, I love Monica Lewinsky, but I was like, just stop.
Yeah. She tries too hard to go viral on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah, I'm like, just leave Beyonce alone.
Yes.
She's not going to change her fucking 10-year-old song.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of trying too hard on social media.
Yes. And great segue.
And doing TikTok hacks at home that don't go our way. There's this great piece in The Atlantic this week called "Are You Sure You're Not Guilty of the Millennial Pause?" And basically the millennial pause literally means us pausing as millennials at the start of a video for a second to see if it's recording. Which I find
Gen
so
Z is
funny.
So funny that they've like picked up on that. Yes. The nuances of that. Yes. And like made it go viral.
And that's because for millennials, we're still learning. We kind of all these new apps that are coming out, we're like learning them or whatever, and video was never one. And for Gen Z, they've completely grown up with these apps, so it feels like second nature to them. And so we have this pause when we're trying to like work the apps, which is so embarrassing.
I feel like the pause is a mix of like working the apps and like an existential moment of like,
why am I here?
Am I actually going to do this? Because like, yes, that thing, I think the gap between Gen Z and us, like you said, with video is you're performing on social media in a way more like raw way. By being live, like, you know, you take a photo, you can like edit it. There's like a gap between the thing and you sharing it. Whereas video, it's so immediate. It's like that. It's an existential pause.
I feel like that with Be Real. I get the pause. I don't know how to use it, which is part of a pause. But B, I'll like do it and then just be like, what am I doing here? Why am I doing it?
Did you see the Be Real that someone did of like their uncle's funeral? And then they did like all the responses.
No. But I saw the B-reel on TikTok, which was so funny, where the girl posted, so it's like the front photo was a bedroom, a messy boy's bedroom, and then the second photo was her face lying in bed, and then the TikTok was explaining, and she was just like, when I posted on my B-reel that I was like woke up in my ex's bed, and then all the responses were so funny. She was like going through all the responses of people just being like, you fucking bitch. Yeah, so when I arrived here today, you were telling me about a millennial incident you just had.
I didn't realize till I read this piece, like, that we, the millennials, were so mocked by Gen Z online because it's obviously not the content that's
being served to you,
given to me. But it's like such a thing that they mock a lot of our mannerisms. And I was glad to see that I didn't relate to many, because I don't know. I think they're about like, it's very American. Like, Americans are like, I love Starbucks, and like saying jokey things about adulting and stuff and things that happen, but we don't do. But I saw a TikTok that said you should apply a fake tan with latex gloves.
That sounds just so, so fucked up.
Instead of the mitt.
Yes.
And I just watched it and just said, that looks great. The way they did it made the legs just look so much better and more even. So I literally bought latex gloves from Poundland. And as I was putting it on,
Grace,
I was like, well, this is going exactly as I would have imagined if I hadn't seen the TikTok, which very is not a very good thing. Having said that, it doesn't look so bad now.
No.
But it was like, I felt like an artist. I was like smearing paint, and it just like sat on the skin. Like, it just wouldn't go in because you don't have the absorption of the mitt, which is what it's designed for.
My God.
I have a whole packet of latex gloves. I don't think I'll be doing that again.
I'll take some.
Yeah, take
some. I'm always in need of some latex gloves. I'm going to dye my hair black today.
Are you? Well, I think that's going to look really nice.
Or tomorrow. It was black. I just brushed my hair.
Well, autumn.
So I'll take some latex gloves off you.
Yeah, for sure. Have you done a? Yeah, you have done a TikTok.
Oh yeah, I
suggestion.
Yeah, I basically got swindled. I've been getting swindled a lot lately. I got swindled by my friend who was living with me into giving her basically a pair of Prada shoes in exchange for some jeans. And then the jeans.
It's like in Burning Man where all you can do to survive is like barter.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. She fucking swindled shit out of me. I got some Acne jeans, which are like nice. And I know Acne jeans are very expensive online when you buy them from the shop, which like no one in their right minds would do because you can get them on Depop for way less.
And jeans are like cars. Like the second they're out the door, their value drops by like 75%.
It's crazy.
Like you cannot sell a pair of jeans secondhand for less than like $10.
Yes.
Yeah.
So swindled away. I then put the jeans on and was like, oh, they fit perfectly. And they look nice. One day later.
You're like, that's lucky.
They've stretched. Like they'd obviously just been washed or whatever. They're too big.
Okay.
I need to now get them altered. So then on TikTok, there was a hack.
This was a terrible
exchange for you. It's really bad. And then, and also I have so many pairs of jeans. No Prada sneakers anymore. And the hack on TikTok, because there's a bunch of them for tightening waist without showing a belt. So you can like do a tie at the back. There's some double button trick. But this one looked as though it was the best of the bunch. Basically what you do is you cut a hole on the inside of the denim at the waist belt buckle bit, but not right through the fabric, just through the first layer of denim. Then get a bobby pin, feed a hair tie through to a hole on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's basically like you're creating waistband. What is it? Like waistband pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I cut the hole on the jeans. I start feeding it through. It's all going well. And then I get to the back of the jean where there's obviously the tag, and I'm not going to remove this acne tag.
What have you done all this for if not to keep the tag? Yes.
So then I'm trying to like weasel it through and it just won't go through. And I try from the other side and it won't go through and it's stuck and it's fucked. And moral of the story is I think that, well, that just doesn't work. And I don't know anyone who, I don't know how they're doing that. So
don't do. And then I was like, are they fucking with us? Like, is this Gen Z making us do dumb shit as a trick?
Probably. They tricked Trump.
Well, what I liked about this piece was it was basically saying, which actually gave me a huge sigh of relief for some reason, that we are the millennials are the first generation to have like aged out of relevance on social media. And so when we were kind of coming up, we were the cool young people that like understood things that all the other generations didn't about like internet language and how to use technology. And the biggest thing was that the companies were coming, like the companies desperately wanted us. We're like the hot girls of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's changed and we're experiencing what like Gen X experienced before us and boomers where the natural thing when you become the cool hot thing that everyone wants to entice is that you mock everyone else. And we're now at the butt of these jokes because Gen Z is not like this silly, crazy, you know, group of people that are abstract anymore. They're like making up the majority of culture and we're being aged out of it and people just don't care about us.
Yeah.
And I like it. I feel like a weight's off my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, same maybe. I think with that, I've just grown way less, I don't know, it even feels funny that a couple of years ago we were talking, or even maybe within that time period, everything feels so confused because of COVID. I also think COVID was just a mess for our mental health and like, and all, obviously everyone was online and we were all on social media because you couldn't do anything else. But in the year since or whatever, even thinking about social media that much or like overanalyzing it or anything feels like it's like completely gone. Like yes. I just don't even think about it. I'll just do whatever on it whenever. I won't double think if I'm going to like post an Instagram story or a post. And that feels nice and freeing. And I don't know if that's aging out as a millennial and realizing that nothing you do matters, or maybe it's a bit of both. Getting over these specific apps, which obviously everyone is talking about with Instagram.
I think it's a combination of the two things, is like a maturing out of it, because it's, I think it's just natural that in your 20s you care about social performance, and maybe you get into your 30s roughly and your brain's like, because your brain doesn't stop developing till 25, right? So I think it is just naturally coming out of caring about your perception in the group or whatever, or like garnering your identity and sense of self from others, like shifting into just getting that from you internally. But I also think that we were, I'm trying to like figure out how to describe this. We were so encouraged to be active on social media because we were so rewarded by it, in the sense of like all these people becoming influencers who made heaps of money, and all the people that were considered cool in pop culture, or who we wanted to be like, looked and sounded and dressed and liked the same things that we did. Whereas now we're just moving into a stage of like slightly not being slightly detached from that conversation. And it's like a, I guess it just happens to every generation. I'd be interested to talk to Gen X about it.
Yeah.
And see how, like, if that's a cognitive thing that generations feel, have felt in the past, or if we're just hyper aware of it because,
well, surely, because there's like the okay boomer thing.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if boomers cared because were they on social media to experience it?
Well, I don't know if it's social media, but I think it's just feeling like you're getting older.
Yes.
No one likes to just people pointing out that they're not important anymore and their youth is past.
It's funny that that comes with like mockery about weird little things that you do, but it also just makes sense because
that's what we do to our parents.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
We're now starting to experience that with the millennial pause thing. It's so funny. It was so radical in my brain thinking about it, because I was like, I've never thought of like us as being the people that are mocked.
No, yeah. I mean, even yesterday I was on the train and I glanced in my reflection and I was like, just saw my mother staring back at me. I was like, wow.
No. Is it on the tube where they have that horrible angle where you're like face
No, it wasn't even. So, but yeah, that's fucked up.
What? They need to fix that. Whenever I see that, I'm like, I need to get to a fucking laser clinic ASAP. Yes. Wait, I want to find, oh yeah. So this Atlantic piece says, naturally Gen Z, okay, where is it? Now that Gen Z has all the attention, the internet quirks that millennials have called their own for years can feel a bit stale, if not downright cringy. The first generation to grow up with social media in the mobile web era, millennials are now becoming the first generation to subsequently age out of it, stuck parroting the hallmarks of a bygone digital age. Naturally, Gen Z has picked up on them too, and the mockery that was once reserved for boomers is now coming for us. The way the quintessential millennial behaves online is basically a bunch of silly little nuances strung together to create a personality that is very giddy and excitable about the normal or mundane. This is a 24-year-old TikToker. His impression
is, we are allowed to be excited about the normal and the mundane. I like that. That's a pea brain way of seeing the world, and I stand by it.
We just think it's the way we are. We don't think of it as like an archetype of our generation.
Yes. Yeah, I find that funny.
It's kind of thing. So his impressions of millennials have received millions of views on TikToks. Their silly little nuances include starting videos with a sigh, doing dramatic zooms into their own faces for emphasis, and using phrases popularized on Twitter and Tumblr like doggo and I can't even in real life.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never seen any of that stuff.
Yeah, that's why some of it I don't really understand.
Yeah.
But there are probably a lot of things that we do that we think we just do as a thing that humans do, but they're actually things we've just picked up from the internet.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Okay, page 6. I don't know why I went to say that. Page 6. What I was meaning to say is Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson have split up, but a source told page 6 that at the heart of the breakup is their age difference. They broke up after 9 months together, originally spotted on the roller coaster ride at, what was it, Knott's Brew Farm or some shit, October 2021. I can't actually believe, I can't believe they lasted that long, but I also can't believe it's over.
I think the tattoos threw people.
Like, he also got tattoos of her kids' names.
That's what I meant. That's so intense. Yeah.
That's naughty behavior.
That's why I was always like, this is so stupid. This is like, if not a PR stunt, is definitely being hammed up for publicity. But then when he kept getting those hectic tattoos, I just thought.
That's just how he is, I think. He's like such a love bomber. What was his star sign?
I feel like it will be a Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not a typical Scorpio, but I can pick when other people are Scorpios. It's like the only star sign I know. Like, I got Katy Perry and Ariana Grande, I think.
Mm.
We talked about it as well.
Yeah. Mm. Crazy. I mean, yeah, they all seem like Scorpios now that you say that. I don't even know what Scorpios are like, but now that you're saying that, those three are very interchangeable. The same,
but they're not like they're me, chaos, you know?
No.
Like, I don't feel like a Scorpio, which is why I'm like skeptical about Zodiac.
Yeah, so essentially they broke up. Pete's been living in Australia filming his show. There were all these articles that came out like a few days before they broke up saying that they were doing really well and stuff, but then other pieces, which I've been following this case very closely, have been saying that it was coming for a while, which it makes sense. Like, I just think Kim was in her rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he was so much fun, so different to Kanye West. She was laughing with him all the time. And then now it's kind of gotten to the point where she's just probably noticing the shine is worn off, and she's probably noticing like the age differences, how intense the whole thing is.
Mm.
She needs to focus on her career and her kids. La, la, la.
Yes.
So
what do you think about the timing? Like nothing is accidental with the Kardashians. Do you think, I feel and have felt for a while that a lot of shit, and this is no like unique perspective, but I feel like a lot of shit that's happened in the past year and a half with the Kardashians has been very expert level management of Astro World, because Travis Scott has started playing concerts again and played a concert in London the same day or the day before or day after Chloe baby and Kim and Pete breaking up. And him and Kylie were like being photographed and stuff, but I feel like it just went quite under the radar. And he's like slipping back into touring again and performing again. And she's standing by his side and the whole family's here and blah, blah, blah. And I almost feel like I don't know how it works, but I feel like the timing, a lot of this stuff has been managed to try and protect Travis from things. Because that should be a big talking point.
I know.
In the culture. Like, is it okay that he's back? Why is he back? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But just no one's discussing it.
Yeah, why he didn't address it on stage.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking that as well. And I've seen some TikTok people kind of questioning that. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about it. I mean, probably. I'm too, gullible and think too positively about everyone and everything. But, yeah. Basically, what I'm most interested in, so it says she was totally exhausted by this relationship and other things going on in her life. There was also a lot of stress coming from Kanye West, who then posted on Instagram following the breakup with Skeet dead. Skeet is dead, age 28. Fake New York Times headline.
I like thought that was real when I saw it.
Oh my God.
I didn't think it was real as in a New York Times headline, but I was like, oh my God, did Pete act? Davidson actually die, and Kanye is like making a joke about
it. Oh shit, yeah.
I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, and then Kanye took it down like 2 hours later. Apparently Kim Kardashian was livid. But yeah, I liked this British Vogue piece that just talked about the relationship and why they're sad it's over and just how much kind of escapism it provided everyone at this time when there's like wars going on and all and COVID and just all this kind of stress and anxiety, and just we could just look at Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian and just be kind of comforted by that really weird romance.
Yeah. Yeah, it is sad.
So, yeah, she said, aesthetically, Kardashians look lean, superhuman, but her relationship with Davidson was ultimately humanizing. Like any number of divorced women looking for a sexy rebound, she saw a man whom Beckinsale once described as having his own bag of mischief. And weren't we all metaphorically DTF with this relationship, which just so happened to coincide with society's descent into hellishness, from war to the toppling of reproductive rights and climate protections? Kardashian and Davidson, however awkwardly ascending the steps at the Met Gala, were a saucy little escape from that. Just as Davidson may have been something of a diversion for Kardashian, so too was the pair of balm for our weary souls.
I am sad. It's over. Who will he date next?
Got to be Emrata.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's who you were saying.
Yes.
I was like, who the fuck were you saying the other day that he would date, that he should have dated?
Yeah.
Emrata. Yeah, because people, no one has said that on Twitter at all, but people have been saying Julia Fox, which would be hilarious because obviously she was dating Kanye.
Well, the biggest thing that people seem to not grasp about Pete Davidson is that he's a massive fame whore. Like, it's not accidental that he keeps going into all of these, like, relationships with really high-profile women. Like, he likes the attention.
Yeah.
Partly because he's not that funny.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think he'll do... He'll be photographed with Emrata and he'll be photographed with Julia Fox and they'll both be just media things because I think he knows them both. So I think he'll just be like, let's just hang out and like send the paps crazy.
Yeah. And then other people have been saying Miley Cyrus because they're both the same level of chaotic.
She's above him.
They've been friends for ages.
Yeah.
And other people are saying in funny discussions, Martha Stewart. Because he's holding her hand in those all those photos.
I'd love that.
Jennifer Coolidge, just because.
Yeah.
And then Gloria L. Red, so that he doesn't have to remove his "My Girl is a Lawyer" tattoo.
That's funny. I wonder who Kim. I still have, and I know you're. I literally know you're going to be like, no. I still feel like either for a plot line or in real life that Kim and Kanye will get back together at some point. I really believe that in my bones.
Yeah, no, I'm not like
Met Gala.
I'm not like together. Super know about it. I do think when she makes a decision like that to break up the whole family, etc.,
mm-hmm.
it would take a lot for her to go back, and he's not really doing himself any favors by continuing posting this shit on Instagram.
It'll be like,
but he will in be two trying, or 3 years, yeah, like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh well,
Pete Davidson. If you were at a club and Pete Davidson came up to you and asked you out, would you say yes?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
He gives me the ick.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.